I will start with Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and then the second song will be Shall We Gather at the River.
Thank you. Amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your presence. Thank you for giving us the truth in amazing portions. Father, we lift up our sons and daughters and their sons and daughters and all their loved ones. We lift up everyone on our prayer list, Father. Father, we want faith, discernment, wisdom, courage. We pray for the latter rain. We want to glorify you. So thank you for giving us an opportunity to do so. Bless us as we study your word and give us understanding and opportunities to share it. Thank you again for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. We can only pray to the best of our ability, but we do so in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, today's sermon is kind of like a current event thing. I was going to do this a couple weeks ago, but some other things started happening, and I was convicted to go ahead and put it off for a little bit. And but it has to do with something that one of the governors, a governor of Texas, did something, and then and you got another governor doing something. It's just going just as the prophecy said it was going to go. But I love the way Sister White puts it into focus, and so that's more or less where I'm starting here is in June. And almost exactly 107 years ago to the day, I mean, in June of 1904, she made a statement, and Ellen White did this. And by the way, this woman, if anybody here is new online or offline or whatever, she has been verified by literally millions of Christians, as well as many of students of prophecy all around the world, to not only have all the biblical fruits of a prophet, but she's also one who has made prophetic statements not found in Scripture that have come to fruition with 100% accuracy dozens of times. And just so you know, I don't make such claims lightly to try and convince anyone of what I have found. I always like to back it all up so you can verify all this as fact by going to two pages I got on the website now where I list all these well-documented facts. And it's, you know, either the Who is Ellen White page, which will also link out to the Was She a Prophet page. And I got the links here in the room. And for those of you that are listening on the radio or on the phone, just go to remnagod.org/egw.htm. And you can get any information about her that I have on the site from that page. Anyway, in one of her books titled God's Call to Service on page 155, and it's also found in a periodical named The Southern Watchman on June 28, that's 1904, that's why I said it was almost exactly 107 years ago, she said this, David prayed, it is time for the Lord to work, for they have made void thy law. This prayer is no less pertinent at the present time. The world has gone astray from God, and its lawless state should strike terror to the heart and lead all who are loyal to the great King to work for a reformation. Right. That's pretty amazing how this is happening in our day, but this is what we've been praying for. But anyway, let me just finish what she's saying here. I don't want to lose my thought here. She says her point. She says, the papal power has thought to change the law of God by substituting a spurious Sabbath for that of Jehovah. And all through the religious world, the false Sabbath is revered while the true one is trampled beneath unholy feet. It is on the law of God that the last great struggle of the controversy between Christ and his angels and Satan and his angels will come, and it will be decisive for all the world. And this is the way the devil's always worked, by the way. If you look at my Mark of the Beast video, I show a few points as how the devil always used one of the Ten Commandments to go after the people of God. Well, this is the one he picked for our generation, and it's the fourth one. She says, men in responsible positions will not only ignore and despise the Sabbath themselves, but from the sacred desk. That's the pulpit she's talking about. And so she says that they will urge upon the people the observance of the first day of the week, pleading tradition and custom in behalf of this man-made institution, because that's all they can use now. They claim that we keep Sunday holy because of what Jesus did and he resurrected on Sunday. That's a tradition of the church. They have to say it's a tradition of the church because it's not scriptural. There's not a single Bible verse that they can use to back it up. Now, they do have seven of verses that they twist out of context, and that's why I made that one video, is Sunday the Christian Sabbath. It's very easy to put those verses right back in context. But if you don't read your Bibles, it looks like these Sunday keeping preachers are right. If you don't study your Bible, it looks like they're telling the truth when they twist it out of context. It's that easy to twist. She goes on, she says, they will point to calamities on the land and sea, to the storms of wind, the floods, the earthquakes, the destruction by fire, as judgments indicating God's displeasure because Sunday is not sacredly observed. Sounds like today's world, doesn't it? These calamities will increase more and more. One disaster will follow close upon the heels of another, and those who make void the law of God will point to the few who are keeping the Sabbath of the fourth commandment as the ones who are bringing wrath upon the world. This falsehood is Satan's device that he may ensnare the unwary. Now, as we all know, we saw him back in February of 2005 that a Presbyterian minister named John McLeod stated that the tsunami that killed 300,000 people a couple months before that, which is called the Christmas tsunami, it happened on a Sunday, December 24th, I believe it was. Anyway, he says it happened because because God was angry with people that refused to go to church on Sunday. So yes, this confirms what Sister White and Scripture says about their plans to bring about the mark of the beast. That was back in 2005, though. Since then, and this is just since then, since 2005, I've posted exactly 73 articles from all around the world on my Sabbath Attack page that speaks of Sunday laws or the need to pass such laws. That averages out to, about one article a month for the last 6 years. Rome has been very busy building on this point. And this is why we see a Roman Catholic majority now in the U.S. Senate, or a Roman Catholic majority in the Congress, or a Roman Catholic majority in the Supreme Court right here in America. This is also why Newt Gingrich and Tony Blair, along with other less-known politicians, have suddenly converted to Catholicism. They know Rome has the power in D.C. because they live in D.C. I mean, since when does a politician care about religious theology? Since when does he care about religious anything? But with the Tea Party movement, now they see they got to go into that direction in order to keep their jobs. Now, the following article was found on the Catholic News Agency website back on June 8th of this year, so it's just a couple weeks ago. And the headline reads, Santorum, that's Senator Santorum, Rick Santorum, Santorum outlines campaign vision, says religion is essential to democracy. And the article says, and I just got a small excerpt from the article, it's from the Catholic News Agency, so I got a link to this if you need it. The article says, introduced by his wife Karen and joined on stage by his seven children, former Republican Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum officially launched his campaign for president on June 8th at a rally held at the Somerset, Pennsylvania County Courthouse. Santorum, 53, is currently one of two Catholics to enter the race to be the country's next president. Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the House and Catholic convert, announced his run last month. Santorum said, yes, absolutely. I am certainly compelled by my faith to help engage in making this a better country, supporting a culture of life and confronting the enemies of freedom. Now, Senator Rick Santorum, like Governor Rick Perry from Texas or Newt Gingrich and Mike Huckabee, all know Rome's plan to tip the scales of evil over the edge in D.C., and it has finally done its work to force the people to seek godly men in office. So the politicians are doing as all they can, as they always have, to be elected so as to become the man in Rome, or the man Rome makes famous and more powerful than any man on earth. So, of course, they're going to do whatever Rome demands of them because they see all their dreams coming to fulfillment if elected. This includes religious laws, because that's what prophecy says Rome's reason for doing all this is, or anything that they do. And as students of prophecy, we know this to be Rome's agenda all along. But for the sake of those that may scoff at that statement, the Vatican stated the following in writing. Now, keep in mind, remember what Santorum said. He's Roman Catholic, and he says he's compelled by his faith to help to engage in making this a better country. And in the Catholic World, October 1937, the Catholic Church said, there is one and only one sure democracy, the Catholicism of the popes. And then in some priest named F.X. Talbot, editor of America, official Jesuit magazine for the U.S. statement of the New York and the Globe in December 14th of 1930, he said, the old Protestant culture is about at the end of its rope. Why can't we make the U.S. Catholic in legislation, that's laws, by the way, Catholic in justice, aims, and ideals? And then in the Shepherd of the Valley Journal of the late Bishop of St. Louis, it states, if Catholics ever gain sufficient numerical majority in this country, which they now have, as I stated before about the Senate, the Congress, and the Supreme Court, he says, if Catholics ever gain sufficient numerical majority in this country, religious freedom is at an end. So our enemies say, so we believe. And they, this next one is from the encyclical of Pope Leo XIII. He says they, the Catholics, must penetrate wherever possible in the administration of civil affairs. All Catholics should do all in their power to cause the constitution of states and legislation to be modeled on the principles of the true church. And this is why you see all the constitutions changed in Europe and now in the Middle East. And this is why you see these problems in Libya, because Gaddafi doesn't want his constitution changed. He doesn't want to bow down to Rome. And so that's the reason for wars. That's why Iraq had the problem they did, because, you know, Saddam Hussein wouldn't bow to Rome. Afghanistan, same problem. Vietnam, same problem. North Korea, same problem. All of them. If they don't bow to the Pope, there's a war. And then this last quote I got is from the Statement of the Church, page 3839 by Miller and Ryan, and it was imprimatured, or let it be written in Latin, by Cardinal Hayes, Roman Catholic Cardinal Hayes. He says, but constitutions can be changed and non-Catholic sects may decline to such a point that the political prescription or ban of them may become feasible and expedient. What protection would they have against the Catholic state? And this is why we can clearly and easily say the Seventh-day Remnant people would become an illegal religion. Because here they're saying it would be feasible and expedient to do so. And what protection would we have against the Catholic state? Well, see, but what the Vatican fails to realize is they can boast about their power all they like. We know they know all about how our God protects us. Claiming we would be unprotected is nothing more than a fear tactic they hope we'll fall for. And we're not going to fall for it. Sure, they may kill more Christians as they have done in the past, but that never stopped the truth from spreading back then. In fact, it helped it spread even wider, to the point Rome was mortally wounded in 1798. This time, of course, their wound's going to be eternal. So they can boast all they like. We know that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord, in Isaiah 54:17. So if you're holding on to the world with white knuckles, thinking that's all that reality is for you, that is world and world and world alone, the real reality is life is supposed to be eternal as it was in the Garden of Eden. It's supposed to be that way. So if that doesn't entice you, and then the world is what you're all about, then many weapons can be fashioned against you, because that's not the heritage of the wicked. The heritage of the servants of the Lord is pretty clear in the scripture. Now, I'm about to share a video that was just released online the other day by Texas Governor Rick Perry, who declared all should pray to Jesus or else in a recent campaign speech. But before sharing the video, please understand this. No, the video isn't talking about Sunday laws yet. But it does set the stage to bring us to that point sooner rather than later. In the video, they show how many people who claim to be Christians, or well, they appear that way. But anyway, they are fed up with all that's happening in our nation, whether it be economical, political, or physical. They're just simply fed up. They actually have planned a national gathering of Christians from all denominations to meet in a Houston sports stadium in August of this year to do something about it. Now, keep in mind, all this religious activity, all these religious statements, all these references to Jesus, and all these calls to pray to Jesus are being made by a United States governor who also happens to be a presidential hopeful in 2012. This Roman Catholic inspired mixing of church and state is something prophecy has predicted for centuries, and Rome has admitted to this as their agenda for decades. This is a prophetic event of epic proportions fulfilling right before our eyes. In the book, Confusion Twice Confounded, Monsignor Joseph H. Brady states that the U.S. Supreme Court is wrong in decisions regarding separation of church and state. He says a sound view of the Constitution and its relation to religion probably awaits a change in a personnel in our highest tribunal. And that was in the Register of January 23rd, 1955. And sure, yeah, the tribunal has changed. Now the Supreme Court is a majority of Roman Catholic. During the Reagan administration, President Ronald Reagan, after much pressure, appointed an ambassador to Vatican City. When W. Kenneth Dan was asked why we needed an ambassador in Vatican City, he replied, it would allow the USA to influence the political decisions of the Roman Catholic Church. This mixing of church and state is just what Rome needs so as to take advantage of all that's happening in the world today. If the church has no power in Congress, then how will they ever be able to legally have politicians lobby for religious laws? The Mark of the Beast is a religious law in that it demands you worship on Sundays. Most think that Sunday is just a religious day, so this law will be easy to pass once politicians are accepted as godly. All the calamities, all the economic problems, all the crime, all the corruption in politics, and all the perversions running rampant in our nation's capital has led up to this moment, just as Christian prophecy said it would. And if you think the loud cry has to go on for years and years and years, it not necessarily. Reformation can happen in a moment. They could spread around the world within days. We got the internet. We got satellite. We got DVDs. And this could happen quickly because the calamities are already here. I mean, when these calamities increase, and they're going to increase, they will use this newfound religious fervor in Washington, D.C. to push for Sunday laws with an overwhelming majority of American citizens right behind them all the way. Sister White says in Last Day Events, page 129, she says, Satan puts his interpretation upon events, and they think as he would have them, that the calamities which fill the land are a result of Sunday breaking. Thinking to appease, isn't that something? She said that in 1899, and that Presbyterian minister said that in 2005. And they still think this one is a false prophet. Anyway, she says, thinking to appease the wrath of God, these influential men make laws enforcing Sunday observance. This very class put forth the claim that the fast-spreading corruption is largely attributable to the desecration of the so-called Christian Sabbath, and that the enforcement of Sunday observance would greatly improve the morals of society. This claim is especially urged in America, where the doctrine of the true Sabbath has been most widely preached. This gathering in Houston that Perry's doing is just their way of getting the people used to the idea that their political leaders are religious and religious statements are now allowed in politics. Whether this guy wins the office of presidency or not doesn't make any difference. He's playing a part and he's going to play it well. You know, they need someone up there to do this, to start this ball rolling. He doesn't even have to make president. If someone does it that has some kind of oomph behind him like a governor, they got the ball rolling. That's all they got to have. She says, politicians today know all about the Tea Party movement. Oh, wait, Okay, Sister White said, rather, to secure popularity and patronage, legislators will yield to the demand for Sunday laws. That's from Review and Herald, January 23rd, 1908. And so, besides the fact a Presbyterian minister purposely failed to mention that everyone in the churches where the so-called Sunday-breaking tsunami hit, died while worshiping on Sunday. His statement alone regarding the Roman Sabbath being needed to fend off further calamities opened the eyes of many scoffers who for years ridiculed us that preached they would eventually do exactly as he did. So I do praise God for that fact alone. But still, the politicians are very aware of what's going on with the Tea Party movement, and it has a religious tone to it, so they're going to have to echo that exact same tone. And that's why Sister White said what she said, that, you know, to secure popularity and patronage, in other words, to get the votes, the legislators are going to yield to the demand for Sunday laws. In Sister White's statement of 107 years ago, she said that all sorts of calamities would start to escalate to such an extent that eventually the leaders in political office would demand that people do what they say and is right in the eyes of God to try and stop all the problems. Without a mixing of church and state, that's just going to be impossible. Can't be done. In just the last few weeks, I've shared so many articles on the site about these calamities that I simply cannot share them all today. But I will share some of the more graphic ones for the sake of illustration so that you can see just how crazy it's actually gotten out there right now. I only do this because I know some of the remnant people don't research current events as much as they should be. So in the last few weeks, we've seen volcanoes erupting that have shut down air traffic and emptied cities. The Chile volcano, for example, that ash cloud has just circled the planet this week. We saw 312 deadly tornadoes touch down in one day that killed hundreds of people. Three nuclear reactors in Japan melted down, spreading disease globally. Animals, oh, by the way, there's one in Nebraska that's about to have the same problem because of water. Animals, fish, birds, and insects are dying all around the world in biblical proportions. Anywhere from 7,000 to 8,000 Christians are either tortured and or killed for their faith every week right now. That's just the Muslims, by the way, doing it. I'm not talking about the North Koreans or the Indians or any of the other ones that are doing it. And unprecedented floods in the USA, destroying millions of acres of farmlands and homes and businesses all across many states. Dozens of earthquakes are happening each and every week now all around the world. I actually had to uninstall the software that would ring a bell every time an earthquake went off because it got annoying. It's like four or five times a day there's these earthquakes that it reads, it sends me, lets me know about. So I just turned it off. The other day I found this scientific articles that show scientists are literally terrified at how the sun is about to destroy all life on Earth. There's actually things happening on the surface of the sun right now that physics say are impossible. And the science, you got to see that article. It's just amazing what's happening on the sun, and they can't figure out. They're actually saying that the sun is somehow inside of a time bubble, and it's actually going faster inside the sun than it is outside the sun. I mean, they're coming up with all these crazy theories as to what's going on that thing. Radiation right now is being found in Texas drinking water. Infant deaths have jumped 48% on the East Coast since the Fukushima meltdown. Planet-sized comet hit our sun a week and a half ago. A planet-sized comet. Food is sold that's infected with everything from E. coli to mad cow disease and cancers. A landslide just recently buried an orphanage. Wildfires are right now burning in seven U.S. states. Radiation defects are in newborns now in Japan already. I saw a bunny with no ears. Flammable water is coming out of people's faucets in some U.S. cities. And huge cracks. I remember watching this video about this one in Michigan. This guy's just walking through his land with a camera showing how the earth is just opening. There's these huge cracks and massive sinkholes are showing up all over the world. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. Now, keep in mind, all of what I just shared just happened in the last 3 weeks, and I didn't mention most of it for the sake of time. The only thing I think that happened a little later than 3 weeks was that tornado that killed those 312 tornadoes. I think it was like a month and a half ago. But anyway, I have literally thousands of articles and videos on the site now proving our society matches exactly with what Jesus described what it's going to be like when he returns. This includes politicians speaking like Vatican priests. Many years ago, it was revealed to me, as I'm sure it has been revealed to others that study prophecy like we do, that Antichrist is indeed alive and well and working through our political leaders. This has been prophesied, and this has been proven fulfilled many times over. And as I have watched over the last three decades how corrupt political leaders have come to high office, especially here in America, I've noticed something quite obvious. With each new president, we see more and more scandal, more and more unjust laws, and more evil acts being embraced by them and their elected officials, like cabinet, you know. How many elected officials that have been, you know, and put in office by presidents, by signing a piece of paper, that have ended up in jail for crimes? These guys are so corrupt. With each new leader comes more and more decadence, not to mention all the political games they play to further oppress the people that vote for them. Many years ago, I saw a trend in Washington I spoke of many times from this very pulpit. With each new president, we saw it get so bad that, as expected, a grassroots movement or as they call it today, the Tea Party thing, you know, the Tea Party movement, had to have been born. We knew this, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. We knew this, as did, you know, many people that believe as we do that study prophecy, that if you keep pushing these evil presidents down the throats of their, you know, the people that vote for them, eventually they will organize and demand a godly form of government. This has all been planned by Satan because he knows he needs to have a religious or godly form of government so as to enforce the religious law prophecy says he's going to try to enforce, or he will enforce. So as prophesied by our Lord, he used Rome's power over our politicians to do just that. First, Rome forced evil men to take office so the people are pushed to their limits to form a political power demanding change, you know, the Tea Party. The politicians who are only in it for the money will do anything the people desire to stay in office. So they come forward playing the part of a Christian so as to appease the people because the Tea Party movement is acting like they're all Christians. While all this is happening, the calamities increase to such an extent that it fuels the already burning fires of dissension among the people. Truth is, it's bad enough you can't get a job, or some new law has crippled your business, or health care has become attainable. But when you add your home burning down due to a forest fire, or your home and business completely disappearing because of a quake or a flood or a tornado, I mean, the people are going to, they're going to reach their breaking point. Satan knows this, and he knows his time is short. He needs to get all the world to wonder after this man in Rome if this is going to work for him. This is why the calamities are hitting like this. The people are going to break, and they're going to cry out to what they think is God. So they got to be pressured into a religious frenzy. But the religion they clamor to has to be of his making, of Satan's making, if it's going to be successful. Then as the calamities increase, as they are prophesied to do, he can move the people to force the government to place a man in office that will be spiritual enough to demand religious laws as per the people's request to stop all the calamities. Satan also knows we, the remnant people of God, are right now being moved to action. Truth is, this is the actual main reason he wants a godly man in office. When we go forth and the loud cry gets, you know, prophetically louder, as it's, you know, where they're, you know, and then the pews in the Sunday churches start emptying faster and faster than they are already now. And because, you know, they're going to empty because the people of God, they're in all the churches. Revelation 18 verses 1 to 5 is pretty clear. So they understand the truth given them that has been hidden by all their government-funded pastors. When we reveal the truth to them, they're going to realize they've been lied to. And so the pews are going to empty. And since all the funded pastors also have the ability to lobby law, Satan will use the calamities as a reason to enforce Sunday laws. But students of prophecy know he's only doing this to try to quench the loud cry. He's got to use an excuse, and that's, of course, the calamities. So every soul that leaves the Sunday churches is a soul he loses. So all that we see happening in the world against the real Christians right now is purposely designed by Satan to combat the work we have prophesied to do. That being said, how can we sit back while he builds up his forces? Remember what Sister White said 107 years ago? She said they will point to the calamities on land and sea, to the storms of wind, you know, tornadoes, hurricanes, the floods, the earthquakes, the destruction by fire as judgments indicating God's displeasure because Sunday is not sacredly observed. Well, on June 7th of this year, a couple of weeks ago, an article was written by Texas Governor Rick Perry about statements that he made regarding praying to Jesus to stop all the problems we see in our country. The article said that the Texas governor and possible presidential hopeful says America can only solve its problems through Jesus. Now get this. This very same governor also asked Texans to pray for 3 days recently so that rain would fall because Texas has been plagued by a drought. Well, it's been months now since he's asked them to pray, and it still hasn't rained. Nevertheless, they're still going to follow this guy. Well, the article goes on to say, and if you want the link to this, I think it's in the on the page here. It says Perry is the man behind a new conservative Christian event called The Response, a call to prayer for a nation in crisis. It is a day of prayer and fasting to be held at Reliant Stadium in Houston in August, says Perry in a letter on the front page of the event's website. Right now, America is in crisis. We have been besieged by financial debt, terrorism, and a multitude of natural disasters. As a nation, we must come together and call upon Jesus. Now, keep in mind, he isn't generically saying God. Okay? Where the people can use any God they want. He is literally speaking of only the Christian God here. So going on, again, he says, as a nation, we must come together and call upon Jesus to guide us through unprecedented struggles and thank him for the blessings of freedom we so richly enjoy. Well, Jesus instructed us long ago we should never mix church and state. However, as prophecy predicts, politicians which have no business on a pulpit will be proclaiming all sorts of religious laws in the coming days. Since the government pastors have already become an official political voice like the beast in Rome, the next logical step is one we've been warning people about for many years. Politicians will then be as Herod was 2,000 years ago, and the Pope will stand as Caesar did. As a matter of fact, the Pope actually claims himself to be Caesar. I have that in a quote or two on my Words of the Beast page. When the mortal wound is healed, the Pope, like Caesar, will have absolute power over church and state. As we listen to Governor Perry, we see that day is all but here. Perry's speech was no different than any from the Vatican when he made religious statements for political reasons. So, as promised, I have a video I'd like to share. But to make sure everyone hears it at the same time, I will only be sharing the audio portion of the video. The only thing you're going to see on the video anyway is just a bunch of people claiming to be Christians making statements, as well as large groups of Pentecostal-type Christians waving their hands in the air. But anyway, as you listen, also notice the rock and roll beat of the music as they air this commercial. And this is why they use, by the way, the music in the churches today, the rock music in the so-called Christian rock, because both churchgoers and non-churchgoers now can relate because of the so-called Christian rock movement. You know, this reminds me, actually, of Nebuchadnezzar's day when he used music on his people to prepare them for his mixing of church and state when he demanded that they worship, you know, bow down to that 90-foot statue. Just so you know, the video is only going to take 2 minutes, but as you listen, you will notice how it's exactly what Sister White said they would do and say in our day. The only difference is they are not yet asking for Sunday laws, but that day is very soon in coming. So, especially since the calamities have increased so rapidly. So that being said, let's listen to the commercial.
Economic collapse, injustice, violence,
perversion, division, abuse,
natural disaster, terrorism,
depression, addiction, fear.
Why is this happening now?
Why is this happening to us?
To me?
To them?
To this nation?
Who is responsible?
What can we do?
I just want my children to be happy, for my parents to stop fighting.
Get a job when I graduate, to be able to pay my bills.
My daddy to love me.
There is a crisis in America, and not just one.
It feels like America's knees are buckled.
Maybe that's the point. We cannot keep going like this.
Someone has to do something. There has to be a response.
I know I have to respond.
We must make a response.
Not so politicians hear us. Not so that others listen to us.
We will lift up our cry to Jesus.
Our cry for justice.
For restoration.
For forgiveness.
Mercy. This is our hope.
This is our response.
Our government leaders have called this nation.
This generation.
Yeah. Us.
To rise up and make a sound that will be heard in heaven.
To make a response to America's crisis.
We will respond with prayer and fasting.
We will respond with humility and repentance.
We will respond with worship and praise.
On August 6th at Reliance Stadium in Houston,
we will gather.
We will join a movement.
And we will make our response.
I will make my response.
I will make my response.
This is happening.
Where will you be?
What will be your response?
Now keep in mind, with all the ID cards, strange laws, cameras, barcodes, and other methods of control already in place, when they need to, they have all their ducks in a row. They can drop, whenever they drop the other shoe, and life on this planet will change drastically thanks to the politicians mixing religion with politics. Still, some look at what I'm saying and ask, do you really think all the ID cards, the strange laws, the cameras, the barcodes, the computer tracking software, and statements like this from politicians are created just to round up Christians? Well, my response has to be no. I don't think that all these things have been put in place by people knowing for a fact it will be used against Christians. Satan always hides his agenda. He hoodwinked the politicians into doing all this by waving money in their faces. They only saw dollar signs because that's all they worship. The reality here is this. They are so deceived, they actually put laws in place that will even cause their own children to be killed. They truly have no idea what they're doing. Still, let me ask you this. When that day comes, do you think that they're going to use these things since they already have them in place? Yeah. It is most assuredly time for the Bride of Christ to step up and get busy doing what prophecy says she would do in these last days. No doubt can be left in the minds of God's people anymore. They are readying their forces and manipulating the wicked so as to cause them to make such laws to quench the loud cry. If you have talents, if you got finances, if you got spare time, you can offer these blessings to the Lord. Because he purposely gave them to you to help do a mighty work for him. We are being tested to see if we truly do want to expedite the arrival of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to go home and get away from all this life-threatening sin, as I'm sure many of you do as well. However, if you're a believer and you don't have means, or let's say you have been given means that can be helped to use to spread the loud cry, and you're sitting on these blessings he has given you without doing anything, then as Jesus stated in the parable of the talents to the man that buried his blessings, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him with 10 talents, for every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him, and he shall have abundance rather, but from him he that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, therefore shall weep, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's Matthew 25, verses 26 to 30. So even if you have no talent, though, don't worry about this, to do certain things, but you do have finances or even spare time, you can help those in the remnant movement that are doing the work, just as the servant could have done in his day if he gave his talent to the exchangers. We're very, very, very close now. We may have very little time left to work. It could take them a year to enforce the mark. It could take them 10 years. We really don't know. But as we hear the way they speak about the calamities in that video, just as prophecy said they would, and as we look around and see how the calamities are indeed increasing at an alarming rate, we cannot sit idly by hoping this will just blow over. If you have the blessings from the Lord that are indeed, that are needed and indeed going to be used by God in this well-prophesied final and most amazing work of the church, then I implore you to do just that before it's too late. If you don't believe, we are very near the end and the calamities have not yet started, then I implore you to check out my main page on the website daily for up-to-date reports, as well as the archives with literally thousands of articles proving we are indeed very near the end. I can't say it any plainer than that. Hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. Thank you. please do so. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be alive in these last days. And thank you for giving us the strength and the courage to stay faithful. Thank you for keeping your hedge of angels all around us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us hour by hour, minute by minute. Thank you for blessing us with all those things we need. Thank you for the trials and the tribulations we go through too, so that we realize where we have to make changes in our life to get closer to you. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list. And for blessing the workers that are doing the work. And Father, those that aren't doing the work but have the ability to help those that do, bless them in a major way the way you promised. All they got to do is step forward. And then they'll see blessings they never thought were possible. And it's not always just the financial things, too. We are mostly concerned, Father, with the eternal blessings. We want to store our riches in your kingdom. So thank you for blessing us with what we need. Let the signs follow your people. We thank you, Father, for also forgiving us and cleansing us. And teach us how to be more worthy when we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.